Take your Bibles, please, and turn to 1 Kings chapter 17 this morning. 1 Kings chapter 17. We're going to read verses 1 through 16 this morning. I'll read aloud as you read silently. 1 Kings chapter 17. That's right before 2 Kings. I'm sorry. I even said to myself, don't do that. I don't know what it is. It's Pastor Johnson caused me to do it. 1 Kings chapter 17. Please stand to your feet in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God together. 1 Kings chapter 17, beginning at verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And thou shalt drink of the brook, and I commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, which is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and fish in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass as a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of the sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going forth to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it to me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God, and thank you for the many, many truths in it and the opportunities that we can glean from the word of God. Now, God, speak to our hearts today from this passage through the preaching of our preacher this morning. Use him to help us to hear what you have for us. And Father, if there's someone in the room this morning that does not know Jesus Christ, as it's been prayed during the offertory, that they would accept Christ before they leave. Now, for all this to be accomplished, Holy Spirit, we need you to anoint our pastor and help us as the hearers this morning. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
It is very important that you check your cell phones and make sure they are turned off or to vibrate so they do not go off during the service today. We would appreciate that very much. We really don't want to drag you out of your chair and throw you out in the foyer, but we'll do it if it goes off. So help us, please. We're just kidding about that. Sort of. I hope that you paid careful attention to the scriptures this morning while they were being read. This man, Elijah, is a prophet. He walks into the throne room of Israel's most wicked king, Ahab. And he stands in front of this king and says, it's not going to rain on this earth. And turns around and walks out. This man has a boldness. It'd be like walking into the White House, standing before the president, and saying, this nation is not going to see a drop of rain because of your wickedness, and turn around and walk out of that office. Elijah was a prophet that God used to work 8 different miracles. This is the first one here. The second one is in the same passage, where he went to the widow of Zarephath and the drought set in after years of no rain. And he comes to this city and God has him meet this widow. And she provides him with just a little bit of oil and meal that she had left. If you read your passage, she said, I don't have enough to feed you with because I've got a handful of meal and a little bit of oil left, and I was going to get a couple of sticks and make a fire and cook a little bit of a bread for my son and I, and that's all we have to eat, and then we're going to die. But the prophet said, if you'll make me a little cake first, God will make sure that that barrel of meal never empties and the oil, a cruse of oil will never empty. And she was fed for years from what happened. This man is a bold man. He's a man that was used of God. If you know your scriptures, you know the next chapter to me is one of my favorite in the Bible. Same man, Elijah, has a confrontation with Ahab and his 850 prophets of the local ecumenical society. They have a showdown up on top of Mount Carmel. God sends fire in answer to Elijah's prayer, and an entire nation turns to God. He was a man greatly used in his life. He saw God do great miracles through his life. He saw God provide great things with others through his life. But why? Why would God use this man, Elijah? I want you to look in your Bibles at the first verse of our chapter today. First Kings chapter 17 and verse number 1. It says again, notice please, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God liveth, and here it is, before whom I stand. Do you know what that statement means? Elijah said, he's my God, and I stand before him. Now see, when you stood before a king, and that's what he's doing here, when you stood before a king, you did so by permission. You did so because you had the authority to do so. You were granted permission to stand before the king, and you had a right to do so. So when Elijah's telling the king, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, and then he makes the statement, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. He was telling the king, I stand before the King of Kings, the Lord God of Israel, before whom I have the right, the authority, I have the privilege to stand before my God. He said, he's sent me to tell you something. And because king, there will be no dew, no rain on this earth for all these years. And you know the Bible tells us that for 3.5 years, there was not a drop of rain on the earth for 3.5 years. Now there's places in this world it rains every day. There was no rain there. There was no rain anywhere. There was not dew on the ground for 3.5 years. God stopped the flow of water from the heavens because there was a man who was right before God. Have you ever heard that expression? Are you right with God? See, we think of it in this way. We think, well, of course, he's a prophet and you know, he's a man of God and of course. No. Elijah did not say, I'm a prophet and I have the right to tell you this. He said, I'm a man who's right with God and I stand before that God. And he has sent me to give you a message. And that came about exactly like he said. And yes, later a nation would come to God. And yes, later a widow and her son would be fed. And yes, later on, God would do great things to this man's life. But it was all because he knew he stood before God, which simply means this, ladies and gentlemen. In our expression of common vernacular today, it simply means there was a man who was right with God. And right before God. Can I ask you a question this morning? Answer it quietly in your own heart, please. Are you right with God this morning? You see, to be right with God from this passage of Scripture, if I understand his statement, the God before whom I stand, it means, number one, you know God. Not you acknowledge him or you believe he exists. You know him. The Apostle Paul had that desire in his life after his Damascus road. Later, many years, he would make the statement in Philippians verse 3, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. He didn't just believe in God, he knew God. Now let's understand what that means today. To know God, first of all, means you know him as your heavenly Father and your Savior. It means you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Too many people today are making their own way to God. They have their own God. They have their own God as they understand him. They have their own God the way they make him. They have their own God the way they want. They have their own God of their own understanding. They have their own God. That's a man-made God, not a God-made man. Now listen to me. You come to God the way he is. But the Bible says you're going to come to God. You come to God through Jesus Christ. That means you acknowledge Jesus died for you on the cross, paid for your sins, rose again 3 days later, and Jesus Christ is your Savior because you have in simple repentance of faith put your simple and only trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Then you can say you know God because you know God on his terms. You know, it's the expression today, people use it too often. You know, oh, that so-and-so, he's my friend. And most of the time they mean he's somebody that I know. Real friendships, you'll probably only have a handful of those your entire life. Because real friends, there's a sacred bond between friends. But we use that too flippantly. Oh, I know him. You mean you may know his name. You may know who he is. You may even talk to him at one time. But when you know God, ladies and gentlemen, it's more than you acknowledge him. It means you know him and he knows you. And that's an important thing about salvation. That means you know God through Christ as your Savior and God knows you through Christ as your Savior. There's two ways to this thing of salvation, you know. When he said, the God before whom I stand, it meant he knew God. But it also meant this. It meant he was right with the God that he knew. Now, for most people in this room, the issue isn't that you know God. You've accepted Christ as your Savior. May I say this very quickly? If you do not know for sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior, if you're not 100% certain you have eternal life, please do not leave this room until you know. At the end of this service, we will give you an opportunity to let us take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Please let us do that, would you? Honestly, you won't be joining our church. I promise you, it'll simply be you looking at the Word of God and making a decision about accepting Christ. But see, for most of you today, you've already done that. So you know God from maybe even many years ago. But this morning, that's not the question with Elijah. The question is, are you right with God? He said, the God, Lord God of Israel, before whom I stand. That means he had access, he had permission, he had authority to stand before the God of heaven. And because this man was right with God, do you know what that meant? It meant he had the authority to speak the way he spoke. Here's what it means when you're right with God. Same thing for Elijah, same thing for you and me. Number one, it means you have power, God's power. Power in the Bible doesn't just mean an energy. It means authority God gives you. Elijah could not just walk in there and throw his weight around, tell the king what to do and walk out. God had to be behind that. When a person is right with God, God is behind what you're doing in your life. He's going to help you. He's going to work with you, through you, and in your lives. And that's important in life. We need to know the power of God in our lives. The Holy Spirit of God working in our lives and working through our lives. So God's working there. Elijah had power. He could walk in and say, Ahab, it's not going to rain on this earth for these years. He didn't say how long. And turn and walk out. Later on, Ahab would chase Elijah down. And when he chased him down, he said, oh, yeah. Ahab speaking to Elijah, he said, are you the one that's been troubling Israel? And Elijah said, no, sir, you're the one that's caused the problem. You and the wickedness of your leadership, that's what the problem is. Would God we had some men of God who could get to some of our leadership, and those leaders would be willing to at least listen to the fact that some of our leadership in this nation is determined to get God on against us. They're willing to shake their fist in the face of God like there's nothing going to happen with that. I don't know what people think today. They must be atheists. They must believe there's no God in heaven. But I assure you, there is most certainly a God in heaven. He's not going to allow this stuff to just keep on going. He's not going to do it. America needs to get a wake-up call, a serious wake-up call. But you see, listen to me. If you're right with God, you have the power of God in your life to help you do what you're supposed to do. We do too much in the flesh, too much by the strength of will and character, and too much is done by our own thinking and our own reasoning. Too much is done by the arm of flesh that fails us, the old hymn says. Too much is done without the power and the help of God. See, that power of God can help us do not only what we're supposed to do, it'll help us do what we can't do. You'll come, listen now, you'll come to the limit and the end of what you can do in your life. But you'll never come to the limit of what God can do through you. And that requires being right with God. You know what right with God simply means? Listen now. It simply means my heart and my life and the way I live it is right before Him. Well, I think it is, Pastor Johnson. Wonderful. Can I ask you a question? Why is it that you think you're right with God? How do you know for sure? Here's what you do. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Ask Him. Ask Him. You know, you married couples, I hope that you still date now that you're married. Right? I don't see enough nodding. Okay. I hope that you're still dating even though you're married. Still a good thing. Yes? I know it costs money to go out on a date nowadays. It really doesn't cost that much. Do you know what a milkshake costs? What, a couple of bucks? Probably up to $5 now. Do you know what a milkshake costs? A couple of bucks. You get yourself a milkshake, two straws. Stick them in there. Sit across from your spouse and pray to God you got a better sucker than she does, okay? And then you can just sit there over a milkshake and just have a little milkshake together, right? Hey, what does it cost you anything to go over here and walk on the Sacramento River Trail? Does it cost you anything? Does it cost you anything? Does it cost you anything? Go to one of these places, get a little thing of chicken wrap or whatever they call them stupid things are. Go out there to Whiskey Town Lake right about sunset and watch the sun go down. My wife and I were sitting out there one night, had a chicken wrap, Coke, couple of wedge fries, watching the sun go down. I go, "Hey, girl, you want to make out?" She looked at me and she goes, "Nope." I go, "Okay." Yeah, you've been married for a while. You can take rejection. It's really simple. You know something? The truth is, I hope that you married couples spend some time together where you at least look at each other and every now and then you have a conversation that goes like this. "So, honey, how are things going with our marriage?" You want to know how well your marriage is going? Ask your spouse. Not your partner. I said your spouse. That partner thing's getting a little thin with me. Partner could mean anything. Somebody living together, two guys living together, two women living together, four people living together. I don't know what that's supposed to mean anymore. I know what a spouse is. That's the person to whom you are married. I'm with the spouse thing. That's good. It's a good way to find out, isn't it? Now, some of you guys, your knees are knocking together right now like something like we got a mariachi band going in your section. The truth of the matter is, it might scare the fire to you, but I guarantee you, your wife knows how it's going, and it wouldn't hurt you to ask. Say, "Get to the point, preacher." Oh, I'm making the point. I'm making a good point. And you want to know if you're right with God, and you're going to figure it out on your own. No, you go to Him. Ask Him. Tarry before God. And ask God, "Am I right with you? Is everything okay? Or is everything all right in my heart? Oh, search me, oh God, and know my heart. And try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, I just want to be right before you." And you know what? If it's been a while since you've done that, I suggest you get you an 8.5 size notepad and start writing things down, because he'll make a list for you. Then you go down those things and get those things right before the Lord, and when you're done, you'll be right before your God. And when you're right before your God, His power works in your life. The Holy Spirit brings back joy and peace and happiness and all the works of fruit of the Holy Spirit and all the things being filled with the Spirit. You have a song in your heart again. There's joy there that once was lost is now. Those broken strings are restored again. Joy comes back into your life. God's strength lifts you up because power is there because you're right with God. God before whom I stand. This is not an arrogant man. This is a guy who's standing there in the power of God to do what he does. So I don't have to go to the White House and tell the president what to do. I wish somebody would. You know, the truth of the matter is, hey, the truth of the matter is, but you need God's power for your marriage, don't you? And you need God's power for your family, don't you? And you need God's power in your neighborhood, and you need God's power in your workplace, and you need God's power in your life. You need that. You must have that. And if you're right before God, you will. And again, he will help you do what you're supposed to do, and he'll even help you do what you can't do. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God's power. Then if you'll notice in this account here in the book of 1 Kings chapter 17, Elijah was right with God and he had God's power. And he was right with God and he had God's protection. You don't tell a wicked king like Ahab was. The Bible said Ahab was the most wicked king Israel ever had. He was an idol worshiper. He put metal gods in the fireplaces where they burned their refuse and burned them red hot and laid his children on those gods alive and burned them to death. This is a vile man. He was wicked beyond degree. His wife, Jezebel, his wife was just as bad as he was. She came from a heathen people. So he married a heathen woman, and he's a heathen the way he acts. It's an unholy union, and here he is standing in front of this king saying, it's not going to rain, and turn around and walk out. He didn't run out, he walked out. So what happened with this man who was right? You know what he had? He had protection. He had God's hand of protection. You follow this stuff that happened in Boston this past week. This horrible thing, these Muslim terrorists striking our nation again, blowing up innocent people. I cannot comprehend the hatred that must be in someone's life to put a bomb in a public place, kill a little boy, two women, blowing people's limbs off. But there was an account of a man who was talking there who mentioned that he was running in the race and his wife was standing no more than 10, 12 feet from where that bomb went off. People around her had their legs blown off and their arms blown off. And she didn't have a scratch on her. And she walked away from it without even so much as an injury of any kind whatsoever. And the man mentioned it. He said, we were very blessed that my wife was protected. Now people look at me. You understand that if you're right with God, I did not say you'll never have another problem in your life. You'll never know another. I guarantee you this, you'll never have another accident in life. Say, you mean that's it? No. Listen to me. I said it won't be an accident. Didn't say you won't have an accident. I said you'll never have another one. Here's what happens. See, when you're in the will of God and you're right with God, anything that comes to your life comes through God to you. Otherwise, listen to me, it's either God's blessings or good luck, one or the other. I would prefer to live by the blessing of God. God will not allow anything to come into my life that doesn't come through his hands first. That does not mean you get everything you want. It does not mean you don't have any troubles. It means there are no accidents. There is no oops. There is no all of a sudden something just happens to you. Everything that comes to me comes through my God. Everything. Good, bad, better, or worse. Whatever it is, doesn't make any difference. And I'm protected by my God. And if you know what? If I lose my job, that must have been God's will. It wasn't an accident. That was a divine plan and purpose before my God. And I found something out, ladies and gentlemen. My life is protected by God. And so is yours. When you're in the center of his will for your life, when you're doing what God puts you on this earth to do. Some of you dear people tonight, you can't buy enough insurance to protect yourself. You cannot. These poor people down there in Texas, and that whole town was just leveled by a fertilizer plant that blows up. I assure you, those folks that were hurt in Boston, no one had insurance for terrorist bombings. No one had insurance for disaster like they had down there in Texas. They're finding out now that the folks in the Midwest, many of them being flooded out again, they couldn't even get flood insurance. Now they're flooded out again. Now listen to me. All I'm telling you is this. I'm not saying don't buy insurance. Of course you do. You be wise, you be careful, you'll be smart. But I'm telling you right now, my friends, you can't take enough vitamins to keep yourself healthy. You can't buy enough insurance to protect yourself. You can't live in a cocoon big enough, thick enough, or deep enough, or far enough to keep you away from anything. But I assure you this, when you are right with God, he protects and watches over you. Elijah could not do what he did without the hand of God protecting him in his life. Same king, by the way, would later go into a battle and disguise himself so no one would know he was king of Israel. He went there with a good king named Jehoshaphat, who was a good king but not a real smart man. Ahab and Jehoshaphat got together. Ahab, a wicked king. Jehoshaphat, a good king. And Ahab tells Jehoshaphat, you go in the battle dressed like a king. I'm going dressed like everybody else. And sure enough, the armies surround Jehoshaphat. God delivered him. And Ahab dressed like all the other soldiers out there in the middle of everybody else, like nothing's happening. And the Bible said a guy drew a bow at a venture. He just put an arrow, loaded it up, and just said, I'm going to just shoot this thing. And God took that arrow, ran it down through those soldiers, and stuck it right between the shoulder blades of that wicked king who thought he could get away from God. Like Jonah, when you run from where God wants you to do, you get swallowed by a whale. You know, it's amazing how God can find us, isn't it? It's amazing how God will protect us, isn't it? Protection, ladies and gentlemen, again, does not mean he keeps everything bad away from you in your life. It means nothing comes to your life by accident. Everything comes through the hand of God. And he protects us even in the valleys, even in the dark midnights, even in the trials and troubles. Boy, this economy that turned so sour recently and has still not turned too sweet yet. It's amazing how God has protected those who are right with God when they went into it. It's amazing how he took it. And I didn't mean the people who lost things weren't right with God. People lost things. Things happen in folks' lives. Come on, people. When are we going to figure out that the economy is not God's will? God's will is what's important. The economy is not what's important. God's hand in my life is what's important. I need to be sure I'm right with God. Are you right with God this morning? Then there's power. Then there's protection. One more thing. Then there's provision. When he says, there'll be no rain, God says, now, Elijah, here's what I want you to do. Go over here to the brook Cherith. I've commanded the ravens to feed you there. There. The key is there. It mentions that word three times in these verses. There. And he sits by the brook, and every evening and every morning, ravens come, the unclean bird, and bring him bread and flesh in the morning and evening, bread and flesh in morning and evening, and he drinks from the brook. While the drought gets serious, what happens? The brook starts to dry up. And God says, now, Elijah, I want you to go down to the city of Zarephath. I've commanded a widow woman to feed you there. Now, all Elijah has to do, being right with God, is just go where God wants him to go and be where he's supposed to be. Not where Elijah wants, where God wants, because it's there that the ravens and the flesh and the bread are. It's there the brook of Cherith is. It's there the widow of Zarephath. And ladies and gentlemen, we missed the whole point of this thing. He goes to the city of Zarephath. God did not say, now her address is 2241 Elm Street. He said, I've commanded a widow woman to feed you there. So he goes to the city of Zarephath, and who comes walking out but a widow? Isn't that amazing how coincidental that all is? Wow. And it's a widow. And he asked her for something to drink and something to eat. And God, through the man of God, being right with God, feeds this poor lady and her son. There's provision there. Are you listening to me? There's provision there. I didn't say you'll get everything you ever wanted. I didn't say you'll, you know, blab it and grab it, Christianity. I'm so tired of hearing this junk where you just, you know, God always wants everybody rich and get you everything you want. Excuse me, that's not how it works. But I do know this, ladies and gentlemen. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. I've seen God be able to provide stuff that nobody else could ever take care of. When there was no hope, when there was no chance, when it looked like nothing else could be done, God still owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And God knows where the employers and employees are. And God knows where all these things are. It's amazing how God's provision cannot be kept from my life if I'm right with God. Now, the key then is this. Let's be sure we're right with God, okay? No, you may not have everything on the menu that you want. You may not have a house stock with all the groceries you'd like to have. You may not live in a mansion. You may not live in the things that that everybody considers to be so important. But I know this. You'll be able to go to your God and say, Heavenly Father, I've got too much month at the end of my money. And I need some help. And God says, well, I've commanded something there for you. You know how many times I've gone to the mailbox and said, now, Lord, you know what I need. I'm up against it. Lord, help me here, please. Opened the mailbox, and there was 2 extra bills in there. It wasn't $20 bills either. And I took him out, and I looked at him, and I thought, didn't I say something correctly? I'm sorry. That's a bill I wasn't anticipating. On top of these other ones, and then some junk mail, only to find out I could actually win a couple $1 million from Ed McMahon. But other than that, there was nothing in there. Oh, but it's interesting how God had another way to provide that. The early days of our church, when we started this church, we had no visible means of support from any group or organization of anybody. Not a dime. We got on our knees and prayed down every nickel that was necessary to pay every bill we had in our family and for this church at the beginning, back in the old Grange Hall days. Oh, there was days when I'd pray and say, now, God, listen, all I need today is $5. If I had $5 today, now this is back when gas was cheap, okay? Now, if I had $5 today, I'd have enough gas to just do some soul winning today. That's all I really need today, God. I mean, I need more than that, but if, Lord, could you just help me? I need $5 today, put some gas in my car so I can go across town and do some soul winning, do the work you want me to do, but I don't have it, Lord. Could you help me, please? And I go over and lift the little mailbox on the front of our house and look in there. And one day, I prayed that, and one day, I lifted the mailbox, and there was nothing in there but a $5 bill. Somebody just went by and put $5 in my mailbox. And my first thought was, I should have prayed for 50. Short-sightedness will get you in trouble every time. God's provision. Or it may not be anything material in your life. Maybe he'll just give you enough peace to go through the storm you have in your life right now. But I found something out. Like we sang it this morning, it is well with my soul. If it's well with my soul, it doesn't really make a whole lot of difference to the condition of my life as long as I have enough the peace of God that passeth all understanding that'll keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That comes from being right with God. The last thing you'll find when you're right with God is there is this thing called preparation. See, Elijah now has to go to Mount Carmel and stand before the king and his ecumenical association and call down fire from heaven. But he was ready for that now because she was right for God. He was right with God. He was able to help this lady and her son because he was right with God. See, God's preparing him to help her. God's preparing him to stand before the king again. God's preparing him to bring down the local heathen Baal worshipers. And God's preparing him to call down fire. And God's preparing him for the work he's to do. And God's preparing him for all these things that his nation needs, that the people around him need in his life. Don't you understand? Being right with God is not just about what Mike Johnson is and gets. It's about what God's preparing me to help somebody else with their life for. See, look here, you understand this morning, please. You understand you being right with God is important to everybody around you. You've all been around Christians before. They were not a good testimony. You know, those grouchy people are always upset about stuff and everything. And then say, praise the Lord. You always think, man, I wish they wouldn't do that. I've been out in restaurants before and watched people chew out waiters and waitresses and they're ordering food and things like that and then bow their head and pray over their food. And I think, oh, I wish they wouldn't do that. I wish they wouldn't chew people out and then let people know they're Christians. I mean, that'd be the time to bust out the Quran, okay? Those guys need some more bad press. Don't you understand when you're right with God, God is preparing you to help somebody else. And if you're not right with God, somebody else's need is not being met because you're not right. We're messing with somebody else's life here. In Elijah's case, it was his entire nation. Well, I don't know if I could help America, Pastor Johnson. I don't know. God is going to have to do something inside this nation to help this nation. There's a little bumper sticker. It's very simple. It says, Revival, America's only hope. Well, the revival's not going to start in the White House. It's not going to start in Congress. It's going to start in you, and it's going to start in me. And it's being right before God. So he's in the process of preparation today. Question, are you right with God? Let's stand our feet, please, this morning. Are you right with God?